The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 36, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on July 4th, 2011, in Harper's Crossing, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Asam Yatatmana Yogo.
Asam Yatatmana Yogo.
Dushprapya iti me mati.
Dushprapya iti me mati.
Vasyatmana tu yatata.
Vasyatmana tu yatata.
Shakyobaptum apayata.
Shakyobaptum apayata.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares the one who does not accept the proper treatment to detach the mind from material engagement can hardly achieve success in self-realization. Trying to practice yoga while engaging the mind in material enjoyment is like trying to ignite a fire while pouring water on it. Yoga practice without mental control is a waste of time. Such a show of yoga may be materially lucrative, but it is useless as far as spiritual realization is concerned. Therefore, one must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Unless one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he cannot steadily control the mind. A Krishna conscious person easily achieve the result of yoga practice without separate endeavor. But a yoga practitioner cannot achieve success without becoming Krishna conscious.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shiru Shiru Pam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanditam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Jaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakonvitamscha.
So the paper is passed around for everyone to ask questions. There's some papers being passed around, yes. And you should write your questions down. In a few minutes, I'll be answering questions. So, there's a lot of really wonderful points here. The first point that caught my attention is Krishna says, one who controls his mind and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. Krishna gives 100% guarantee. That's a pretty good deal. 100% guarantee. Is there anything else in this material where you can do where you get 100% guarantee? You know, if you go, we guarantee that if you get a degree in computer programming, you get a good job. Can they? Does it always happen? No. I know one college graduate, she got a degree in archaeology. She ended up working in a bakery. I mean, she couldn't get a job. You see. So there's no university that can guarantee success by getting that degree. But Krishna guarantees. If you come to my university, you see, if you study, if you take up Krishna Bhakti, I guarantee you will be successful. If you, two conditions, you have to control your mind. You see, you can't be just a sense enjoyer. And you have to bring your mind under control. The second point is you have to strive by appropriate means. So what is that appropriate means? That's described in the Bhagavad Gita. You have to have a spiritual master. You have to follow certain rules and regulations. You have to give up sense enjoyment and engage in Krishna service. There's certain means that are appropriate. You can't eat meat. You can't be taking intoxication and smoking cigarettes. You have to follow some religious principles. Some spiritual practices have to be followed. You have to chant the names of God. That's described in chapter 9. Krishna says, Satatam kirtayantam mam yatantascha dridhirvataha. They're always chanting my glories, these devotees, these great souls. So you have to chant, you have to offer your food to Krishna. That's described in chapter 13. Jagyashishtana shanto muchante sarvakilvishai. If you don't offer your food, what are you eating? Pop. Sin. However, you here you have a plate of sin. You get all excited. Put a little cherry on top of it, or you know, sprinkle with little leaves of mint or something. Here you have a big plate of sin. A sin restaurant, you see. Come to the sin restaurant and eat sin. A big plate of sin with noodles. You see, that's what we're eating in this material world. We're eating sin. We're simply eating sin. So if you want appropriate means, you have to control your eating, you have to control what you vibrate, you have to control what you think about. And if you'll do that, if you'll follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, you're going to be successful, guaranteed. And what is that success? You'll become free from the cycle of birth and death. You'll enter into the kingdom of God upon leaving your body. It's a pretty good deal. Because you've been here for millions of lifetimes, rotating and rotating and rotating. You see? Sometimes you've been a monkey. Did you know you were a monkey? Did you know that? You were a monkey in a previous lifetime? Running around. Did you know that? You were a monkey. You know you were an alligator in a previous lifetime? You see? You're an alligator. Or you were a tree. Or you were a kookaburra. One of those Australian kookaburras. How do they make that sound? Does anybody know how to imitate a kookaburra? We have any good kookaburra imitators here? I don't know how to. You're Australians, you should know. You're not native Australians, I guess. Huh? Anyway, you were all kookaburras in a previous lifetime, you see. So we've been through so many different births. Well, you should be able. You're native. You're the native Australian. You can't do a kookaburra imitation. What's the good of your Australian birth?
See, everybody did kookaburra sound.
Everyone? Let's hear it then.
They did it all together.
I don't hear any kookaburra sound. And they go, hee, like that? How do they do that? Anyway, I heard it one time at Govinda Valley. Someone said, oh, that's a kookaburra out there in the bush. So, yeah. So anyway, we're guaranteed to get out of this cycle of birth and death if we take to Krishna consciousness. I mean, we've been suffering like anything in the cycle of birth and death. There's a lot of other nice points, too. Krishna consciousness you immediately become expert transcendentalist. That's the beauty of it. You see, the yogis have to undergo many lifetimes of severe penances and austerities. I'm not talking about the modern day, so-called yogis that go to all these different yoga classes in the cities, you see. This is not real yogi. Real yogi means they go to the Himalayas, they live in a cave, and they give up everything in this material world. They no mobile phone, no laptop, no wife, no kids, no dog, no car, no clothes even, no warm jacket for the winter. I mean, it's pretty austere. These yogis do. Even in you go to Kumbh Mela, you can see they come down for Kumbh Mela, you see. They're real yogis. But it takes some. Papa said some yogis are 300 years old because they slow down their metabolism. But if we try to imitate those yogis, we had one college student, an Indian boy in Texas, who used to come to our center. When he graduated from the university, he decided he wanted to imitate the yogis in the Himalayas. So he went to the mountains outside of Taos, New Mexico, up in the mountains. He took off all his clothes and he sat down to meditate. He died. He killed him. His brother came and told us they found his body sitting up there naked in this cold, frigid mountain area. So we can't imitate these yogis. One has to be very, very well trained in austerity and penance. And even then, it takes many, many lifetimes to finally become a devotee. That's what they finally, to be successful, they finally have to add bhakti to their yoga practice to really become successful. Even they develop so many mystic powers, and they do. They develop so many mystic powers. They can levitate. They can do all kinds of things. They develop mystic powers. But what good is it? You can levitate, sit like 3 feet off the ground. I'm already sitting 3 feet off the ground in the chair. What have I accomplished by being able to sit 3 feet off the ground, you know? They can do it. They can levitate. These advanced yogis can levitate. They can do all kinds of things to defy the laws of nature that Prabhupada describes in the Nectar Devotion. But they can't conquer over death. You see, so what's the use of it? You can levitate, but you still have to leave your body. What's the point? But if you take to Krishna consciousness, if you take to the path of bhakti yoga, you can surpass even the most advanced yogis just by chanting, getting up and chanting Hare Krishna every morning before you go to work. Just by offering a little arti every morning, singing some Gavastikan prayers, offering your food, taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, you can easily surpass all the advanced yogis and gyanis, you see, who study the Vedanta, who master Sanskrit grammar and study Vedanta. You can surpass all of them just by awakening the love of God within your heart. So that's our request. Take advantage of this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. Take this pathway that guarantees 100% success. Krishna consciousness. So I can have the questions now. Pass them up. Okay. How do you account for the natural disasters? Accounting for the loss of millions of lives. Karma. That's a... As you sow, so shall you reap, the Bible says. Newton says for every, the famous scientist, he said, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's also the law of karma. Newton stated the law of karma. So they're getting the reactions for their past sinful deeds. It's simple. Is it a way that Mother Earth is responding to the sins inflicted upon her by man? Yes. She is an agent through which the law of karma is acting. She acts as a representative of the law of karma. Okay, next question. Pass the questions up. All right. Dear Maharaj, Hare Krishna, last few days my mind is disturbed due to one of my students committed suicide. Oh, Krishna. What a shame. She's not a devotee. My request, please explain what was her mental condition that she did this abominable act. She was so miserable. She was just so miserable that she couldn't stand to go on living, but she was ignorant of the fact that she's going to be even more miserable now after she committed suicide. They don't escape it by committing suicide. They become even more miserable. You know what happens when you commit suicide? You become a ghost. You become a ghost. Not funny. The ghost has material desires, but no material body to fulfill them with. They want to eat, they can't eat. They want to have sex pleasure, they can't have sex pleasure. They want to enjoy the sensual pleasures, but they have no body to enjoy it with, so they try to take over somebody else's body and enjoy it vicariously through them. It's a very horrible thing to be a ghost. It's a horrible thing. It's the most horrible thing you could ever imagine. You think she was miserable before that, she's much more miserable now. Much more miserable. How we can stop the simple way of propagating Krishna consciousness among people? How could we stop, or how could we stop a simple way to propagate Krishna consciousness among people? Well, Prabhupada has told us exactly what we have to do. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Prabhupada already told us what we have to do to spread Krishna consciousness. Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution, festivals, preaching programs. We just have to do what Prabhupada told us to do. Prabhupada knew exactly. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati knew exactly what to do. He said, if you ever get money, print books. The most powerful means is massive book distribution. That's the best thing. Everybody can be mobilized to go out. Everyone can be mobilized to go out and distribute books. My godbrother, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he has a preaching center in California, and it's all Indian, practically all Indian members. It's like here. But he engages the whole congregation. They have book distribution marathons regularly. They go out, they set up book tables, they even go door to door. He mobilizes the whole Indian congregation. They all go out and distribute books. This is the most powerful way. This is how we can actually do it. These books go out in mass in every home. These books go. You see, that's how we're going to do it. That's the way to do it. Prabhupada made it very clear. Massive book distribution is the most powerful thing. And you back that up with Harinam, Prasadam distribution, festivals. These things are... The book distribution is the leading edge. Massive book distribution is the leading edge program. Prabhupada made it very clear. Okay, is there more questions here? How to develop faith in Krishna's words and promises. I'll give you an example. Let's say you pull into some strange town you've never been to before. And you know you need to go to a certain address in that town. And you forgot your GPS gadget. You don't have that. You don't have any maps either. Because you threw all your maps away when you got your GPS thing. But, so now you don't have any maps, and you forgot your GPS thing. All you know is the address. You don't have any map. And so how do you find it? It's a strange town. You don't have any map, and your GPS thing is... How do you find it? Well, you ask somebody. Do you know where such and such a street is? It says, oh yeah, I know where it is. You go three blocks down there, you find Main Street, and then you make a left on Main, you go five blocks that way, you get to Edison Avenue, make a left there, and he names all the streets and how many blocks you'll find each street. You see. Now, do you think he's correct or he's incorrect? Well, you have no choice. It's the only thing you have to go on, right? So you try it. Well, I go 3 blocks. He said 3 blocks, I'd find Main Street. And sure enough, it was Main Street. Then I go 7 blocks or whatever it was on Main. And then, yeah, Edison Avenue is there, just like he said. So each step of the way, because the instructions panned out. You understand what I'm saying? Are you awake? You understand? You with me? You're not, mine isn't going somewhere far, far away. You with me? Okay, good. I've come all the way here to enlighten you. My duty is your spiritual master. So since I've come all the way thousands of miles, I don't want you to go thousands of miles away during my lecture. You see? Because it's such great endeavor I've come here, even suffering, getting a cold in this cold weather, and so many things I've gone through so I can give you this knowledge. So please stay here with us. Don't go away. If you're sleepy, you can rock back and forth or go like this. You know, keep alert.
Stand up.
Huh? Stand up. So just keep yourself alert, because this is how you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, by hearing from the spiritual master. This is how you become advanced in Krishna consciousness. The more you can hear spiritual master and senior devotee speaking, that's how you become advanced. That's the easy, quick way to advance, by hearing, very good quality hearing, taking it deep into your psyche. That's the secret. So anyway, in the same way, as you've got those directions from that person in that town, and each time you made one turn and it panned out exactly as he said, your faith has grown. So if you will take the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita and start to follow them, and you go, wow, it worked. I did this, and it worked. Just like Prabhupada told me, he said, continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. And it worked. It's been working for 40 years. Take the orders of the spiritual master. Take the instructions of the devotees. Take the instructions of the scripture and apply them and see how they work. Krishna consciousness is not blind faith. It's like science. We're told in science that H2O equals water. You can go to the laboratory and actually do it. It's not blind faith, because you hear it from the teacher. You go to the lab and it actually works. So in the same way, you hear from the spiritual master, you hear from the sadhus, you read in the scriptures, you put it into practice, and you say, yes, it's actually working. You say, well, it's not working. That means you didn't follow the directions carefully. It means you put 3 parts hydrogen and 2 parts oxygen, or 1 part hydrogen and 1 part oxygen. If you want water, you have to have 2 parts hydrogen and 1 part oxygen. So if you want the results, see if you're doing it precisely as it was instructed. Are you adding your own other version? Because you're proud, you're throwing your own little new recipe. That you have to see. But I guarantee you, if you will do precisely what the spiritual master tells you, you do precisely what the sadhus tell you, what the scriptures tell you, you will get a result, and your faith will grow. And every step, it'll become stronger and stronger and stronger. How to remember Krishna at all times? Don't forget him. See everything in relationship with Krishna. How many of you drink water every day? Everyone drinks water. Krishna says, Rasoham apsukanteya, I am the taste of water. So every time you drink water, ah, very nice, water, Krishna. I am the light of the sun. I am the light of the moon. You see? When you see the moonlight, ah, there is Krishna. Sashi Shuryo, he's the light of the sun, the light of the moon. The ability in man, how many of you have a boss at work? Who's really good at working you like a donkey? I am the ability in man. You see, that's Krishna. Krishna has manifested in his ability to work me like a donkey all day long at the office. You see, that's Krishna. So learn to see Krishna in everything through the eyes of scripture. I'm the sound and ether. Any sound actually is a representation of Krishna. It's like, is there kind of like a fan blowing or something? Yeah. That's also Krishna. That sound vibration is Krishna. What to speak of kirtan. But even any sound vibration, Krishna says, I am the sound in ether. Any sound is a representation of Krishna. I am the flower bearing spring. If you read the scriptures and learn how to see everything through the eyes of scriptures. I remember I was going through downtown Dallas one day, and I looked at all the buildings, and I had a tremendous realization. I went, wow, this is amazing. Because what does Krishna say? Sutremani gana iva. He says, everything rests upon me, just as pearls are strung upon a thread. And I was going, wow, all these buildings in downtown Dallas, these are like the pearls, and Krishna is a thread. If Dallas, Texas is minus Krishna, then all the buildings just go, zhup. You see? Krishna is holding up the city of Dallas. He's a string through which to hold the pearl strings together. So that's true of everything. Your house, just like look at this house, you see? Krishna is holding this house together. If it's minus Krishna, zhup. Everything. Krishna is holding up everything. Everything rests upon me, he says. His pearls are strung upon a thread. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior. Matak paratanam yanyat kinte dasti dananjaya mayi sarvamidam vratam sutre mani gana iva. There's no... So in this way, if you read the scriptures, you see through the eyes of the scripture, you'll remember Krishna always. Please tell me whom I am. You're the eternal servant of Krishna.
This is her question, so we want to explain.
Oh, okay. We will give you a more detailed answer.
Thank you.
Do you think you're a little girl? You think you're a little girl, don't you? You have the body of a little girl. That's a fact. But actually, you existed even before you got this little girl's body. You know that? You had an identity even before you got this little girl's body. You were an adult in a previous lifetime. You were an adult. Yeah. And now that body was finished, and now you got a young little girl's body, you see. So you've been changing bodies for millions of lifetimes. And every time you got to get sick, you got to get old, you got to die. But if you can chant Hare Krishna, if you can awaken your love for Krishna, you won't have to take another body again in this material world. You can get an eternal body that never gets sick, and never gets old, and never dies, and you can play with Krishna forever. In a beautiful land where you don't have to go to school, you don't have to go to work, you can just enjoy with Krishna forever. Would you like to do that? What do you think? You'd like to do that? All right. So you're actually the eternal servant of Krishna. You're not your body. So you use this life to awaken your Krishna consciousness, and then you will have an eternal life as a youth. Okay.
So, she should remember what?
Huh?
I'm part and parcel of Krishna, eternal servant of Krishna.
I'm the part and parcel, eternal servant of Krishna. That's right. How can I serve Krishna? Oh, who asked this question? That's a very nice question. Oh, very good. Very good. You can serve Krishna in so many ways. You can offer him an arati. You can pick some nice flowers and put them on the altar for Krishna. He likes the flowers. You can learn how to cook. You can help your mother cook for Krishna. Yeah. You can cut some vegetables. Or you can, maybe she's not old enough for the knife yet. You can help your father to do, you can hear stories about Krishna. You ask your mommy and daddy to read you Krishna book. You see, Krishna likes very much when the little girls hear about Krishna. You see, so you can hear about Krishna. And you can chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, and when you can bow down to Krishna, when you go, when you see the altar, you bow down and say your obeisances. So in this way, you can serve Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear Maharaj, what mode or attitude one should carry when dealing with God brothers and God sisters? You should see them as representatives of your spiritual master. From the scriptures, we know that predominating deity of this earth planet is Bhumi Devi. Where does she reside? And my people in general do not worship her. I don't know where she resides. And people in general do not worship her because they're too selfish to worship anybody other than themselves. Is Snan Yatra the appearance day of Lord Jagannath? Not to my knowledge. We don't celebrate his appearance day, to my knowledge. We don't. Please tell us something about the Ratha Yatra festival. Yes, that I can tell you. First time I attended Sal Prabhupada was at the Ratha Yatra Festival. Actually, no, take that back. The first time at the airport, as he was coming into town to go to the festival. I first saw Prabhupada at the airport. And then the second time I saw him was a few minutes later at the Ratha Yatra site. And he told us a little bit about Ratha Yatra at the festival. Before the parade began, he spoke a few words about it. He said, this commemorates an event which took place 5,000 years ago when there was a solar eclipse, and the Vrijavasis and the Dwarkavasis, they all came together at Kurukshetra to celebrate the solar, to observe this on the occasion of the solar eclipse. They all came together. Of course, he didn't give all the details, but we know from other readings. I mean, the details, further details of this, of course, we know that Krishna had left Vrindavan and the Vrijavasis were completely devastated in his separation. And now he's in Dwarka, but he's not in the same mood. He's not a cowherd boy anymore. He's not herding cows in Dwarka. He's a prince. He has a different style of dress, different demeanor, different attitude. He's Krishna, but he's a city boy now, not a country boy, you see. He's become more sophisticated in that sense. City boy. So the gopis saw him and they were so happy to see him, but this isn't our Krishna. They're looking at him like, but that's not our Krishna. So in their hearts they wanted to bring him back to Vrindavan. Radharani and the gopis, they had this desire, they want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. Because they can't enjoy with Krishna, and the only place they can really enjoy with Krishna is in Vrindavan, not in Kurukshetra. They can't enjoy with Krishna in Kurukshetra. Their pastimes they have in Krishna. That's not Kurukshetra Leela. That's Vrindavan Leela. They have to be in Vrindavan to get their experience they want of Krishna. So within their hearts, they are bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, pulling him back to Vrindavan. So that is the mood of the Ratha Yatra. Prabhupada said that this is the Vaishnavas, you see, they meditate on the inner meaning of Vrindavan. Externally, it's, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, purifying the atmosphere of the holy names, that externally. But internally, it's the mood of the Vrijavasis pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. To save the life of Radharani, to save the life of Nanda Maharaj, to save the life of Jasoda Devi, you see, who are worse than dead in Krishna's separation. You see. So when you're pulling the rope, you can think, oh, we must save Radharani's life. She's now worse than dead. Now we have to save Radharani by bringing her Krishna back to Vrindavan. Let's bring Krishna back to Vrindavan and save Radharani from this horrible despair of Nanda Maharaj and the Vrijavasis. So that is the inner mood of Vrindavan. And if you meditate on that while you're pulling the ropes, you're going to have a really good Ratha Yatra festival, I guarantee you. You're going to really be super enlivened. Just meditate on while you're doing the external thing, meditate on the internal meaning of Ratha Yatra. I follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jai, praise Jesus. So do I. That's why. Who is this? Yes, very good. You know, Jesus inspired me to join this movement. You know, you ever hear that story? Yeah. No, I was raised. What denomination are you?
Anglican.
I was Presbyterian, which is the Scottish Church. So we're very close. Anglican and, you know, the British, the English Church, and I was in the Scottish branch, the Presbyterian branch of Christianity. So we're very close in our Christian background. Anglican and Presbyterian are very close. They're next door neighbors, right across the border between Scotland and England. Of course, it's all one country now, anyway. So, having been raised as a Christian, I had great faith in Lord Jesus as a, you know, as the Son of God and as a self-realized soul, you know, an enlightened spiritual master. And I wanted to become enlightened also. I didn't want to just be an ordinary Joe, you know, working a job the rest of my life. I wanted to become a spiritually enlightened being like Lord Jesus was. So I had to do it. Well, I figured I'll study the Bible and figure it out, you know. So I was reading the Bible, trying to figure out what made Jesus the enlightened saint that he was. What was his secret? And I get up every morning I get up and I study the Bible, trying to figure out what made Jesus the self-realized soul that he was. And one day I found it. I was so excited. Eureka! I found it! Christ says, not my will, but thy will be done. You remember that verse? Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to be crucified tomorrow, okay? But whatever you, but the bottom line is, not what I want, but what you want, my Father. Even if it means being crucified, I'm willing to take it, if that's what you want. You see, that was his surrender, you see. So I realized that's what I have to do. So I was waiting for my, we Christians call it the Damascus experience of Paul. You know, familiar with that term? I was waiting for the voice from the sky, like Saul was told, you are now Paul and here is your mission. I was waiting for the voice from the sky to tell me what to do. And that didn't come. There's no, how am I going to have my Damascus experience of becoming enlightened with my new spiritual identity and my mission if I don't hear a voice from the sky? How am I going to do it? Well, one day somebody gave me a little tip and I realized, well, I can't hear God. I'm not purified enough to hear Him, but He can hear me. He has no trouble hearing me. I can't hear Him because I'm too covered by the material energy right now. But God can hear me. So I just started praying, dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. I was begging every day, dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. So here I was praying to become a perfect Christian. You see? I was praying to become a pure, perfect Christian. Fully following Christ, just like the 12 disciples tried to do, you see. Fully, purely, without anything other consideration, dropping all other desires, I was begging for them. And guess who came and showed me how to do it? A Hare Krishna devotee. A Hare Krishna devotee came and showed me how to be a perfect servant. And he even sang a Christian hymn along with me. Can you imagine? There's an old Christian hymn called The Good Shepherd. I don't know if you sing that here in Australia, but it goes, if you want to get to heaven, over on the other shore, stay out of the way of the long-tongued liar. Oh, good shepherd, feed my sheep. It's a prayer asking Lord Jesus for His blessing. We're the sheep, and He's the shepherd. And we're begging Him, feed us. We're your sheep and we need your blessings, we need your mercy. So it's a beautiful Christian hymn. So this Hare Krishna Sannyasi, he sang this Christian hymn with me. Can you imagine? We sang it together, a Christian hymn. And I understood that this Krishna consciousness was actually the perfection of Christianity. That Prabhupada I always felt as a Christian I was born 2,000 years too late because I didn't see anybody who was really following Christ. In my conception of being a true follower, I didn't see one person, not even the Pope, not even these bishops, the pastors. I didn't see anybody around me. And I, you know, I went to summer camp, I went to church school, Sunday school, I went to summer, I went to retreats, I went to church summer camp every summer. I did the whole thing. You know, I was a, was a full-on member of the church youth group and everything. I did everything that I was supposed to as a Christian boy. But I didn't see that they didn't see they were really following Jesus. My understanding of what it means to really follow Jesus, like the 12 disciples 2,000 years ago, you see. But I saw that Prabhupada was. He was following that path of pure devotion. And so that was the answer to my prayer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So for me, you know, whether you say praise Jesus or Hare Krishna, they're the same thing, really. We encourage you, if you want to be a Christian, we say be a perfect Christian. That means follow the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Be a vegetarian and chant the name of Christ. Regularly chant the name of Christ. If you feel like, you know, you feel like chanting Hare Krishna is a religious conversion, which you don't want to do, yeah, that's fine. Actually, it's not, but if you think that way, because you've been trained to think it's something non-Christian, then chant the name of Christ. Get the same benefit. Lord Chaitanya said, there are thousands and millions of names for God. And any and every one of these names has the full potency to deliver you. And Christ is actually a name of God also. Jesus, it's sometimes said Jesus of the Christ. Christ is actually an etymological derivation back to the Greek and back to the Sanskrit of the name Krishna. It's actually Jesus Krishna. Christ is another way of saying Krishna. It comes from the Greek word Christos, which comes from the Sanskrit word Krista, which is another way of saying Krishna. So actually, you go Hare Krishna, you're going Hare Christ, 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 Hare Hare. You see? So whether you chant Christ or Krishna, chant one of them, or chant both of them. But we encourage you. We encourage you to become the completely sold out devotee of Lord Jesus, right? In the mood of the disciples 2,000 years ago. You see, that type of Christian, not this institutionalized, so called quasi Christians of the modern era who compromise Christianity with sense gratification. When I was a Christian kid, I couldn't understand many things in the Bible. I understand them perfectly now. For example, when a man who was he wanted to join, you know, become a disciple and follow, you know, become, he wanted to join the Jesus movement, you know, about 2,000 years ago. And he said, well, I've come to surrender, but I got some duty to do. One of my relatives just died. I have to go back and do the funeral. What did Jesus tell him? Let the dead bury the dead. You just stay here. You don't, those are the dead people, you see. Let the dead people bury the dead people. You stay here and be one of the alive people. Is it? But as a Christian, I could never understand that in my Christian days in the church. But as a devotee, I can perfectly understand exactly what Jesus meant. Is it? So if you want to go deeper into actually understanding Jesus, study Prabhupada's books very carefully. We never say you have to give up being a Christian. Now you advance your Christian practice. Become more advanced Christian. That's very good. Actually, there's a Christian minister in America who's initiated a devotee of our movement. A Baptist minister. I used to preach to him a lot. He was taking guidance from me and from one of the other gurus. Actually, he met the other guru first. So he ended up taking Diksha from the other guru because he knew him before he knew me. But he took Siksha from me for a long time. He used to send me his Christian sermons. He would email me his sermon that he was going to read on Sunday in the church, showing me it was all Krishna consciousness, but in Christian terms. He would take the same thing in Prabhupada's books and present it in Christian terms and give it in the church. He was giving Prabhupada's teachings in the church. And they loved it because it was pure Christianity. So you don't have to give up. We don't want you to give up Jesus. You become the best possible Christian. That's our request. And you'll be right with me because I'm trying to be the best possible. I'm a Christian Hare Krishna, you see. You know, I'm trying just so there's no, you don't have to feel bad that, oh, I'm just, these people are a different religion than me. You know, no, we're all one religion. And this, in the kingdom of God, it's all one big, happy, loving family. When Jesus comes again, in the second coming, he's going to chant Hare Krishna. Maybe he's one of our members right now. I don't know. Maybe he hasn't revealed himself. Who knows? He may be in ISKCON already, one of the Hare Krishna devotees, getting ready to save the world now. We just hope the Christians won't crucify him. That's what it, they killed Jesus the first time. They tried to, anyway. I'm afraid that if Jesus comes again, they'll try to kill him again. Because they tell him, you're doing all nonsense. You're not following me. Stop this slaughterhouse business. You know, actually, Prabhupada told us, Jesus started this movement in a protest against the slaughter of the animals in the temple. The Jews were slaughtering the animals in the temple. Christ was very adamantly opposed to this, and that's why he started his movement, in protest against the slaughtering of the animals in the temples. So anyway, our time has run out. I promised that in at 9, but this is so important question, I couldn't let it go with this. It's so important that you understand that we are not trying to convert you to give up Jesus. We want you to become perfect in relationship with your beloved Lord Jesus. Okay, so we'll stop here. And that's it. Now we go into the next phase of the program. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Great Sri Mata Krishna Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.